So thank you, choir. Thank you, Lorna. Always a blessing there. So we are going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We need to recall for just a moment, we've been away from 1 Corinthians for a couple of weeks now. So this letter to the Corinthian church is a letter in response to a letter from the Corinthians asking for help because of divisions within the church. And we're going to get in more into that. We're starting into that in chapter 4 as we see some of the sources and sources of the problems. Okay. By the way, if you see division within the church, what is the source? Who is the source? Satan. Very good. Gold star for all those answers. Very good. So there is someone who is, in fact, the adversary, who is the enemy, and he's going to cause contention and strife and division every chance he gets. So so we're going to see what kind of divisions are we talking about within the Corinthian church. Well, in Corinthians, of course, is very, very well known about spiritual gifts and how are they expressed and how are they used. Spiritual gifts. Well, where do spiritual gifts come from? The Holy Spirit, right? So, and then we think about spiritual leaders. Paul has already talked about. Well, some of you are following after Apollos, and some of you are following after me. But it is God that gives the gain, right? God gives the increase. And so, Paul has already addressed that a bit. But the truth of the matter is, don't we find ourselves in this day and age where we find certain spiritual leaders more popular than others? Why? Because that's the nature of human beings. Now listen to me very carefully, and I say this with great sadness in my heart. In the last couple of weeks, I've heard about some very well-known pastors who are stepping down because of immorality. Okay? So they're no longer qualified to be a pastor and need to be carefully watched before they become, they should ever take on a mantle of teaching again, of authority. And so some of those men you would know if I mention their names, but we're talking about some major churches and major ministries, because any man, any human is more than capable of failing. And if we're not following after the Holy Spirit, we have failed already. And so I remind you, whoever is teaching you, follow the Word of God, follow the Holy Spirit, and test the teachings that come from that human being thereby. Okay? You'll never be wrong with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So they had these divisions about spiritual gifts, spiritual leaders, spiritual prominence. You know, that some of the folks, you know, 1984 was a great book, right? You've read that recently, I hope. George Orwell's 1984. He wrote another great book called Animal Farm. And he understood very well, it was about the same time, back in 1948 or so, that he released that book, published that book. And you see, all the animals are equal, but some of the animals are more equal. And who was he writing about? He was writing about the absolute epitome of humanity, of the expression of humanity as opposed to divinity, and that is the communist world, right? We have absolute equality here, but some of us are a little more equal than the others, right? And so that was his take in Animal Farm. And the truth of the matter is, that was what's happening in the Corinthian church, right? Some of you, they see somebody with money and prominence in the community, and that person gets a nice seat at the, right? Does that sound familiar? Because we wouldn't be guilty of that, but we've known other places it would be, right? The truth is, we have to be careful, because we are, in fact, very capable of sinning in the same way. So there's spiritual prominence divisions, and also spiritual wickedness. And there, we're going to go into this in detail as we go through the Corinthian letters. But anything that was happening in Corinth might very well be happening among the people of the church of Corinth. Such things ought not be. Right? In other words, they were following along with the world. What happens when God's people follow along with the world? Have you read the book of Judges lately? And the people did what was right in their own eyes. And what happens right after that? There comes some judgment from God in the form of, you know, some of the Canaanite people or some tribe will come in and rob them and steal from them. And God will hear, after the people confess and repent, and God will hear their cries and raise up, what? A spiritual leader to get them back where they ought to be, right? And so this is what Paul is addressing in Corinth. They have they've written to Paul saying, we've got these divisions. We don't know exactly what was said in that letter because it's not available. But we have an idea because of the response. There's even a letter from Paul that we don't have that the theologians and historians call the severe letter. So if you think he was tough on them here, because the way things are written in other places, he says, I would hope not to be quite so hard on you as I've been in the past. The truth is, folks, listen, God loves you too much to allow you to do as you please. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you and I just sit back and think about, if I do as I please, what is the result that's out there for me? We have that much wisdom, don't we? I mean, that's a dangerous road to follow, dangerous road to travel. And God doesn't want us to be on that road. So that's sort of introductory to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. We're going to be talking today requirements for being stewards of God's treasures. Requirements for being stewards of God's treasures. So, let's pray together and then we'll proceed, shall we? Father, we come with our praise indeed. We do thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were not worthy of your love, and we are yet worthy only because of the blood of Christ and his grace, his truth. And so we thank you, Lord, for being here. We thank you for inviting us, asking us to come to meet with you, to come and pray, to enter into the throne room of the Creator of all that shall ever be with our prayers, our petitions, our praise. And so now as we come into this time of worship, help us to be mindful of who you are, that we might fully acknowledge who we are before you, that we are sinners saved by the grace of God and the blood of Christ. Help us now to glorify him, for we pray in his holy name. Amen. So often if you hear the word steward, what do you think about? In church, come on, what do you think about when somebody says steward or stewardship? You think money. Why is that? Because psychologically, just the truth of the matter is that's where we go. Jesus Christ said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? You know, that's just human psychology, and it's so clear if we just look at our own lives. You know, I've got some acquaintances here in a couple of months. I guarantee you they will have done whatever it is required, paid whatever is due, to make sure they've got season football tickets, right? Why? Because it's important. It's important. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with season football tickets, unless it's to Alabama or something, okay? But, some Alabama fans, I guess, or not, maybe not. But the deal is, we reveal so readily, so obviously, our heart condition by the way that we pile up treasures in certain ways, by the way we extend those treasures. God wants us to understand this undeniable human psychology that we're talking about, because whatever's you know, when I spend some money or I spend some time, and that's what we're going to need to get to, you know, we're talking about treasures and time and these things that are truly, truly important to us. What we're saying is, this is what I value. This is what I value. Now, as Christians, we recognize that we don't own anything, including our time. Now, we've gotten off something serious now, right? We're not just talking about money, we're talking about time. Think about this. To whom do you look for your next heartbeat? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're not looking to God, you're looking in the wrong place. And please understand something. The Bible tells us very clearly in Colossians that is Jesus Christ is the source. He is the creator of all things that exist, and by him do all things consist. He is holding together, Jesus Christ, your Savior, is holding together the whole creation, and our lives, our very lives, rely upon Jesus Christ authorizing our next breath, our next heartbeat. And some people will think, well, that's kind of, I know that sounds kind of radical. Listen to me carefully. Did you hear the words in that song? That we were worth the time. Let me see what that's, I've got it here somewhere. So, how a God so divine could lower himself to a life such as mine, and consider me worth every minute of time to rescue a sinner like me. Time. What is time to God? It was nothing until, of course, he became flesh also. Right? And so when we think about what God has done, let us not forget that he entered into a dimension of time that he might give us eternity. Right? Did you catch that? So he transcends all of his creation. He's present. He's omnipresent through all of his creation, but he is certainly greater than all of his creation and greater than our imaginations about his creation. Okay? And so yet he entered into a time that we might gain eternity. The Word. Was it John 1? John, the Gospel of John is so beautiful. The Word was made flesh. Let me back up. John 1:1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? In the beginning was the Word. I'm going to get it right in just a second. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and listen, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of such as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Well, now we're talking about the standard, aren't we? It's not a matter of what I'm doing or what I think I ought to be doing. The standard is, are we presenting Christ? I mean, if you belong to Christ, we just started off, if you're a steward, we need to understand everything, including me, belongs to God, belongs to Christ, okay? So if the standard then is Christ, are we presenting Christ? Are we full of grace? Are we full of truth? So it's a pretty high standard. Because it's beyond that undeniable human psychology. It's as we would say in psychology, a reframed human potential. Now I'm going to tell you this. I have this tendency as of the last few years to say, if I am called of God, called of the Father, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ, and I'm doing that, I'm doing the will of God, my potential is unlimited. Unlimited. What do you call miracles? You think Moses did that? You think Samson did that? You think, right? It was the Holy Spirit in Samson that made him, gave him the strength to take the gates off of the city and carry them off, right? Right? And so it is not human potential we're talking about. We're talking about the divine potential when we, the children of God, are obedient to our Father. Now, does that sound radical? No? We're going to get more radical. I just want to see if I've lost anybody yet. Okay. So, what does it take? I'm going to take you. This is a passage. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 4 in just a minute. So, but if you will go to Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. As we're talking about reframed human potential. It's the new standard. Remember, we talk about 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new, right? What is that new creature? The old Tim should have been passed away, and I should be living as the new creature that Christ has made me, living in the power of His Holy Spirit, whom He gave me, right? I've been baptized into the body of Christ by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that's the new standard. And Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, who is that? It's the Holy Spirit. What good work did He begin in you? He gave you the faith to respond so that you would become a Christian. That's the beginning of the work, was when you left behind death and entered into eternal life. That's when you said, I'm turning my back on this world and I'm following Jesus. We sing, you know, we're Baptist church. We sing that all. I'll follow you all the way, right? Remember those songs? Let me take up my cross and follow you. And these songs, you know, God expects that we recognize that those are not just songs we sing. Those are prayers we're singing, right? It's intended that it be that serious. And so Philippians 1:6 says that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Who will perform it? You do the very, very best you can, okay? Because that's what the Lord expected of you. You do the very best. No. 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 The Holy Spirit who brought you salvation, guess what, is equipping and empowering you to live beyond human expectancy to fulfill divine expectations. Think about what we're saying here. Do you have some concerns? Not if you're in the will of God, right? You know, the truth of the matter is, all that we need be worried about is that, am I fulfilling, am I being obedient to what God has called me to be, to do? And after we get there, my goodness, what did Jesus say? But you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Isn't that right? Why was He saying that? Because it's not on me. It's on Him, His Holy Spirit. So, He says, He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's going to be a day, brothers and sisters, when we stand there before the Bema seat, that awards time. You know, it's not the great white throne judgment. That's for those who don't have Christ, okay? But you and I, it's just like we're the gold medal winners in the Olympic races. That's what the Bema seat is about. And He's going to say, these are the rewards you've done, my good and faithful servant, right? And then we take these crowns, and what do? Lord, I know it wasn't me, it was You. Here, You are the one that is worthy. Isn't that right? And so, Philippians 1:6, if you don't have that somewhere deep in your heart, deep in your mind, get it there. Because it's not about me. Jesus never said, Tim, you're going to do the very best you can, and maybe I'll help you out along the way. No, He said, I'm going to give you the Comforter. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And so, what does it take? First of all, we're talking about recognizing as the requirements of being stewards of God's treasures, is that we reframe our own concepts of human potential and recognize who changes that for us. So let's go then, finally, 1 Corinthians. That may be the longest introduction you've ever seen, right? 1 Corinthians 4. We're going to read, I know some of this we've already plowed up a little bit, but it's good stuff, so we're going to try it again. And 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through, we'll probably stop at 7. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You know, you might want to emphasize that. Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And he's talking about the bema seat of Christ there. These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Verse 7, as I thought, was a good place to stop, because if you're in Christ, you have spiritual gifts. You cannot get a spiritual gift anywhere else. And I say that because there are people who will tell you, with certain kinds of training and effort, you can attain certain spiritual gifts. That's a lie. Okay, this is not what the Bible teaches. And the Holy Spirit gives. Okay? And some of those things have been divisions among the church for 19 centuries now, apparently, right? So I'm going to be sharing with you these requirements, and there are two requirements for stewards, requirements for being stewards of God's treasures. The first thing is humility. I'm going to ask you to go back to Philippians. I'm sorry I didn't tell you to stay there for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. And now we're talking about reframing human potential, our concept of human potential. And so we need to be humble. And I'm going to share this with you. Sometimes, I've been trying to preach for decades, okay? And I say things sometimes, and people look at me like, what's wrong with that boy? He's awful, awful proud. And please hear this. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God Almighty, who is my Father, the Son of God, who is my Savior, the Holy Spirit, who is my Comforter. Do you see what I'm saying? I do recognize who I am. And I have some idea. I don't know much about God, okay? I don't know much about God, but I know I've experienced His presence, okay? And that's all I'm saying to you, is that when I get up and say that we are as fully righteous as the blood of Christ, there's nothing bragging on anybody but Christ there, right? Right? So the purpose of His dying on that cross, as we're going to celebrate, we're going to commemorate, and what we just sang about, the purpose of His dying on the cross was to make me worthy in the eyes of God to be considered a child of God. Now that ought to get your heart just a little bit. I mean, you think about what he left behind. I mean, okay, so here's what we're going to do. So humility. In Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So we're going to stop there. But you see there, so humility. If I'm going to be like Christ, the first thing I'm going to have to recognize is that it's not about me. If there's one thing in this world, and I'm talking about in the world that we have today, which is so thoroughly inculcated in most of our congregations, every one of our congregations that is not being serious about keeping our eyes on the cross, and every one of our lives that is not serious about keeping our eyes on the cross, we see this concept about self coming in as a matter of saying, well, I'm all right. I'm okay. I mean, it's almost like, well, yeah, I'm only human, so therefore and we kind of casually just mentioned, yeah, I'm only human, so therefore I sin. Therefore, I'm imperfect. The truth of the matter is, we are called to be something more than what we are, right? And so we start that. Jesus says, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and then take up his cross and follow me. And so what he's saying is, it's not going to be accomplished by you. It's going to be accomplished by my Holy Spirit in you, having denied yourself. Now, we talk about humility. Think about this for just a second. What is the nativity? The nativity is the story of the humble birth of the sovereign. Have you ever thought about that? Let me think about it just a moment. So the creator of all that shall ever be is born in this manure-filled barn or whatever in a little bitty town nobody ever really heard of before, right? It doesn't get any more humble. First of all, we can't comprehend the idea of him coming to earth, being made flesh, right? I mean, not only the virgin birth concept, but just the idea that God himself could clothe himself in flesh and be completely God and completely man. It's beyond us, but he chose to do that because he needed that body, that it might be torn, that he might bleed, that we might be made like him. And so there's this humble birth of God. That's the humble life of Christ. Did you ever think about all of the time, from the time of his miraculous conception, Jesus Christ was omniscient? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the Son of God, being God, is omniscient. And therefore, you know, 30 or so years, he was also fully human. I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And here's this human being is fully omniscient. And so he's listening to people talk to him. And not only does he hear fully what they're saying, he sees their hearts, right? And so he goes through this life, that life, and is fully capable of anything. And so the first time that he reveals, as far as we know, the first time he reveals of himself that power is when his mother says, you know, we're at this family get together, son, don't let your family get embarrassed. Why don't you help them out? You can do this. You can do this for them. Right? That's when he changed the water to wine. That was his first miracle at a family celebration of a wedding in Cana. And so he did that at his mother's request. But why? Because Mary, being a pretty fair understander of biology knew there was something very special and unique about this one, right? this baby of mine is not just a baby, okay? And so he lived humbly, but he was so completely under control, so that it was only a matter of it being the right time to honor the Father that I reveal this. Do you see that? So in my life, in your life, I have to be in the timing of God to do what He's called me to do, or I'm outside the will of God. And so it is about humility, not saying, hey, look, and there are stories, there are apocryphal gospels who talk about Jesus picking up clay pigeons and turning them to live birds when he's just a boy, and some of these things. The reason it's apocryphal is because, well, it didn't happen, okay? Because it was the timing is the Father's, right? The timing is the Father's for you and I when we're doing the ministry. And then we see, of course, the humble death of our Savior. So this humble life, the Son of God, the humble death of a Savior, because there was no other way. So humility precludes concern over judgment. Did you see that? In the verse 3 and 4, he said, this is back in 1 Corinthians 4, where Paul is saying to the folks, it's a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. In other words, he says, I judge not my own self. Because what he's concerned about is what? Am I right in the eyes of God? Listen to me carefully. If your only concern is being right in the eyes of God, you will be so busy in confrontation with the people of the world saying, why don't you act like the rest of us? Do you hear what I'm saying? You've been called to be different. You are the salt. You are the light. Have you ever seen a time in your life when the light was more missing and more desperately needed than it is now? And here we are. He's saying, don't worry about what the world says. Paul says, I don't care what men say about me. Can you really say that, dear brothers and sisters? I really don't care what my cousins, my brothers, my sisters. I mean, I love them. I do love them. But when it's time to say, but this is what God has called me to, I'm telling you, those who are not following will find you very strange and just a little bit spiteful, okay? You're just causing trouble now, right? What's the problem? Why can't you get along with people? Why can't you get along with people? Well, I don't know. Who are they getting along with? I think they're probably getting along with the prince of this world. Who's that? Satan. I mean, if you compromise just a little bit, you don't have to compromise a lot. Just a little bit, and you'll be right in. I can share that with you from experience if you want me to sometime. So, humility. We have to begin with humility. All ministry begins with humility. If it doesn't begin with humility, if it's not initiated by the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and for the glory of Christ, it's not ministry. It's something else. Okay, so it begins with humility, and it continues through faithfulness. It says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, that's not merely technical competence about somebody saying, well, I can do this job and I can do these things. No, faithfulness is a matter of being completely obedient. Completely obedient. How do you do that? Because it's coming from the Holy Spirit. Your obedience comes through the Holy Spirit. You are empowered to walk as Christ would have you to walk. Because these are the important treasures. See, the important treasures of God that we have are pretty simple to group. One is time. Time. I want you to go, if you will, Matthew 24, verse 45. This is Jesus Christ, and he's giving a warning here. So listen carefully, Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And what's a hypocrite? A hypocrite. It's an actor. Someone is acting to be something other than what they are, right? And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, whenever Jesus spoke of that, he was speaking of a particular place called hell. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so what he's saying here is this time, the factor in there about the most important treasures that God gives us is time. Think about that for just a moment. Time. I've been to the cemetery, I don't know, hundreds of times. And every time I've ever been there, somebody I will overhear, or maybe even I will say something along the lines of, I wish I had had one more occasion to do this with this person, or one more opportunity. And we've seen that. So about time, here's the standard, okay? Are my priorities God's priorities? So, you know, look at your calendar, not on your phone right now. I know everybody's got your phone, you got calendar and all that, right? But are your priorities God's? The second thing is testimony. As we examine our own hearts, as we're preparing for the Lord's Supper, am I an ambassador for Christ? Jesus was talking about a servant who had control and responsibility over the entire household. What's in the household? Everything, including what? Children. Am I an ambassador of Christ for those who don't know him? Am I an ambassador of Christ for other brothers and sisters? Am I that beacon that helps them to be reminded, you know what, there's a faithful life? And I'm talking to all of us. Am I being faithful? Faithful, it says here. Stewards must be found faithful, and that is obedient in the power of the Holy Spirit to over everything. Not just money, not just the assets and these things, but we're talking about what influence am I having in people? Please hear this. Please hear this. Do not believe that you don't have a requirement, an obligation as a Christian to make a difference. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that God has called you to take a stand, to be an ambassador, to represent the testimony of Christ through your life. And in so doing, there will be people around you, in this community, within your family, who will be completely uncomfortable. So what I'm asking of you, very simply, is will you trust that God will give you the wisdom, the strength, to stand in the grace and truth that is Christ? We pray in his holy name. Let's do that right now. Father, we come now, we thank you, Lord, for all the ways you've blessed us. We thank you for calling us to be stewards of the most precious things on this earth. And Lord, help us to be true to the Lord, our Savior Christ, and be servants that others may come to know him as Lord. For we pray in his holy name. Amen. This morning, we're going to have